The Wawa data breach affects 30 million. Avast is caught selling user data, and the Ring app shares data with Facebook. All that coming up now on ThreatWire. Greetings, I am Shannon Morris, and this is ThreatWire for February 4th, 2020. This is your summary of the threats to our security, privacy, and internet freedom. If you are interested in supporting ThreatWire on Patreon, hit up patreon.com/threatwire, and now onto the news. In December of 2019, Wawa convenience stores experienced a breach that likely exposed credit card information for thousands of customers who used their cards since March of 2019 up to December of 2019. Now, since Wawa is an East Coast-based gas and convenience store chain, they have 850 stores, and the breach could have affected many customers across a multitude of states. At the time, the security team for Wawa suspected the infection was probably on every single store's network, and it likely exposed the credit and debit card information, including card numbers, expiration dates, and customer names. They addressed the issue in December, but not much more was known at the time. Now, that was until last week, when news surfaced that a huge amount of payment card details had surfaced on Joker's Stash. Now, that's a dark web marketplace for cybercriminals to buy and sell card information. That data stash included 30 million Wawa breach victims, which was the first time a number had been actually tied to this attack. The data was reported by the threat intelligence firm called Gemini Advisory on January 27th. Wawa was notified of the leaked data on Joker Stash and publicized a statement regarding the matter on Tuesday. Wawa is alerting payment card processors, card brands, and card issuers about the hack and encouraged customers to stay vigilant with regards to their card statements and to report unauthorized usage immediately. Wawa also stated that if a card issuer were not reimburse a customer for loss of funds, they will work with them to reimburse them for the charges. Now, this is likely because Wawa has insurance that would cover these kind of breaches of data and would also be held liable. The convenience store chain is already facing one class action lawsuit thanks to this breach of data. Back in December, Avast and AVG's Firefox extensions were removed from the Mozilla Web Store 12 hours after Mozilla announced new store policies that put these extensions in a breach of compliance. This was due to Avast and AVG's collection of user data, such as a country code, a browser type and version, and a lot more. Each of these extensions do ask if you want to opt into them gathering information of non-identifying data that they claim to be anonymized. This data would be aggregated if opted in, or discarded if not. But more details emerged last week about how Avast is actually using this opt-in data. In a joint investigation by Motherboard and PC Magazine, details were publicized showing how Avast, the company that owns the antivirus software called AVG, has been tracking information on what users do online, including what sites are clicked on, what they buy on a certain online store, and what users were searching for through Google, for example. All of the data was shared with an Avast subsidiary called Jumpshot, who would then sell that data to clients. Avast claimed that this data was, again, anonymized. Now, according to the investigation, this anonymized data could be traced back to an individual user. Avast states that they have more than 435 million active users per month, and Jumpshot collected this data on 100 million individual devices, be them PCs, tablets, or phones, and sold this data to big brands and e-commerce providers such as Home Depot, Google, Microsoft, Pepsi, and McKinsey. None of the data is connected to an IP address, email, or name, but they are reassigned a unique identifier with the device ID, and that continues to stay the same as long as they have an Avast product installed on that device. So, for example, if a user is clicking around an e-commerce website on a device with a unique device ID, that e-commerce website could be a client of Jumpshot. And they could easily track down who that device ID matched up to because they would also know what they were clicking on, if they bought anything from the online store, and what time it happened at. The information from Jumpshot could be matched up with information from e-commerce websites that they already had on hand to de-anonymize the data. The device ID could be used to find out what that user was doing outside of just their own e-commerce website by looking at all the other data points that Jumpshot had collected. Now, that e-commerce client of Jumpshot knows exactly who you are, along with what you do on the web when not shopping on their own website. That's creepy. Some have argued that Avast is offering a free antivirus product, and the data collection is an optional checkmark upon install that does require opting in. The company told PC Magazine, quote, "Users have always had the ability to opt out of sharing data with Jumpshot. As of July 2019, we had already begun implementing an explicit opt-in choice for all new downloads of our antivirus, and we are now also prompting our existing free users to make an explicit choice, a process which will be completed in February of 2020, the company said. The opt-in includes a green I agree button or a blue no thanks button, and that blue button is against a blue background of the same exact color. They also don't inform users that the data could be retained for up to 3 years, but they do say that it's de-identified and aggregated and that Jumpshot could sell the data to customers. I would like to comment that any data collected could be cross-compiled with other collections from Jumpshot competitors, creating a much wider net of data points that could eventually be linked back to a user again. The opt-in as well on the website is very vague, and the green button uses human psychology to make a person think that that's the right button to click. The public scrutiny of Avast alerted Senator Ron Wyden to tweet that he is looking into this, and eventually Avast publicly stated that they are shutting down Jumpshot effective immediately. A message from the CEO of Avast states that they have decided to terminate the Jumpshot data collection and wind down Jumpshot's operations with immediate effect. He also mentions that the brand is committed to 100% compliance with GDPR. Avast will also be buying back a percentage of stake from other stakeholders in the company. Before we hit story number three, I wanted to say thank you so much to my supporters over at patreon.com/threatwire. My Hush Puppy Perk level patrons are awesome for sending in their fur baby photos. I love them, so keep them coming. And if you want to support Threatwire but you don't want to be a Patreon supporter, I have opened up an online store of Threatwire swag so that you can show off your support. Check out snubsy.com/shop. The link is down there in the show notes to get t-shirts, stickers, and even my own digital photography, all of which supports my shows. Thank you so much to everyone for your support. According to a report by the Electronic Frontier Foundation, the Amazon-owned Ring camera app on Android is filled with third-party trackers that allow Ring to surveil its own customers. Data being sent out to third-party trackers include personally identifiable information like names, private IP addresses, mobile network carriers, persistent identifiers, and sensor data on devices of paying customers. This was all being sent to four analytics and marketing companies, which could allow them to combine all of the data points into a unique device profile. I feel like I just talked about this in the previous story. Very similar. So no meaningful user notification or consent options are given, and no mitigation options for previously shared data is available. For this analysis, the EFF used Android's Ring app version 3.21.1. Data was sent to branch.io, mixpanel.com, appsflyer.com, and get this, Facebook.com. Facebook in particular gets an alert whenever the app is opened and upon device interactions. Facebook receives this data even if you don't have a Facebook account, and they are able to collect your time zone, device model, language preferences, screen resolution, and a unique ID. Branch, on the other hand, gets the local IP address of your device, your model, screen resolution, and DPI settings, as well as device unique identifiers. AppsFlyer gets a ton of data, including data subsets similar to the other two, but also sensor readouts like from your gyroscope, your accelerometer, and more. And by far, Mixpanel receives the biggest amount of data through and through. This company gets access to your full name, email address, device information, app settings, and a lot more after that. And lastly, Ring sends data to Google's crash logging service, which is called Crashalytics, but that might make sense in itself, given that they might want to track crashes. This data is all sent via HTTPS, so yay, it's encrypted, I guess. This did make it harder, though, for the EFF to analyze the data. The EFF used several different techniques to track the data being sent and determine the destinations. Those findings show what the EFF says is a pattern of Ring giving off this image of a secure home, but in reality, using that trust from consumers to collect and sometimes even mismanage user data. Ring's response was that the company uses this data to evaluate the usage of their mobile app, to improve features, optimize the customer experience, and evaluate the effectiveness of marketing. Before I leave, I want to say thank you so much to Father Caden, Walter, and Todd, who joined the Patreon team this week. Thank you so very much to each and every one of you. You are awesome. And don't forget, if you are interested in Patreon, you can get access to a ton of perks, and we would love to have you join my community. And with that, do not forget to like and subscribe. I am Shannon Morse, and I will see you on the internet.